Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I could never, never, ever turning your love away, okay. Even though I know it's belong to another man.
Oh, baby.
You know, when you look in my eyes,
yeah,
I'm going to say these words.
Girl, you're welcome. Stop on by. You know I'll be here, baby, to dry your eyes, to dry your eyes. But I'm getting tired of being in that second guy. Don't you be no fool, baby. You're about to lose. The material thing that is given, can it truly say that you're happy living? You're welcome. Stop on by. Stop on by. But one day, one day, one day, one day, one day, I might be the one to make you cry. Don't take for granted. Oh, 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 I'll always be.
I'll always. Think about it, baby.
Is it the material thing that the man is giving? Yeah, can you truly say that you're happy living? True love, I'm the one that's giving. Yes, I'm trying, I'm trying to keep a good
Shalom, everyone. This is Yaina with another First of the Week with the Yehuda Project. Glad to have everyone here today. I hope everyone is having a wonderful day. This is the first day of the week. All right. So, you know, class was excellent yesterday. We learned some things yesterday, you know, that we didn't know about, you know, and it was very interesting to learn new things. Anybody that has anything you want to talk about, please feel free to push one. Brother Uriah, if you can hear me, please push one. And then we're supposed to have a guest today. Brother Yerushalam, if you're here, please push one. And let me get everybody on here. Can you guys hear me? Shalom. Brother Uriah, push one if you can hear me. Uh-oh. Hold on. Hold on, you guys. Uh-oh. Hold on. We might be having some technical difficulties. Can you hear me? Hold on, you guys. I'm going to hang up the call back.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but the board is not acting right, but I can hear you.
Yeah, I pushed one twice, so I'm not sure if it went through or not.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Okay. Okay, well, I'm going to, let me try to do this again. Let me pull it up in another screen. Because, of course, you know, when we have guests, you know, everybody want to mess up the screen and act ugly. But it's okay. It is quite all right. And if the guy is on here, we'd like to say welcome to our show. All praises to the High and Holy One of Israel. You know. Let me see if this will help some. Okay. Well, I don't know what it is, but I tell you what I'm going to do. Brother Yerushalayim, I think I'm going to open up your mic just to have it open. And then I can't see whether it's open or not. Brother Yerushalayim, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you. Okay. And I see another 478. Let me open up his mic.
No, that's Sister Rachel, I think.
Okay. Sister Rachel, is that you?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Oh. This is me.
Shalom, Sister Rachel.
Shalom. Shalom, everyone.
You don't sound like you feel too good.
I don't, y'all. I've been up under the woods for the last few days.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. There's definitely some stuff going around, for real. Ooh.
Hey, got a second? I'm going to show you how I got the flexibility to code, create, and experiment my way. Follow me. Let's dive in and start exploring. I signed up for Azure Big House and streamlined my workday. I have access to three popular services all month, and I got a...
Okay, somebody put their phone on mute. Thank you so much. All right, Brother Yerushalayim, what's the area code?
The area code should be 912.
912.
Yep.
Okay, I got him here. All right. It's twirling. Shalom, area code 912. Can you hear me?
Shalom, yes, I can.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, great. I'm sorry about that. You know, usually we don't have this problem, but of course, when we have people on, you know, sometimes the system doesn't act right. My name is Yaina Israel. I'm the facilitator of the Yehuda Project. We have been on Blog Talk Radio show for about, I think we're going on 11 years now.
Wow.
So Brother Yerushalayim was telling us about you, so I'm going to give you the floor. You can go ahead and introduce yourself and, you know, let us know who you are and what's going on and all that good stuff.
Okay. My name is Perel Malone. I am from the great metropolis of Waycross, Georgia. I met this brother as he entered into the sanctuary about a week ago. So ecstatically blessed to make the connection with you all. To give you a background, I've been a pastor. Well, I've been in the ministry for 40 years. I've been pastoring for 37. I've been pastoring at my present church for 26 years. That is the Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church of Waycross, Georgia. I am originally from Waycross and have traveled to other areas, went to school at Troy University, and have worked with three corporations that have taken me around, United Parcel Service, Franklin Gamma and Lockheed Martin as human resource manager. But I've pastored four churches, and this is my fourth church. Three of my four churches have been here in Waycross. The third church was the Bethesda Missionary Baptist Church in Americus, Georgia. And so I find myself at a very interesting point that we're excited about. When I was called into the ministry and accepted my call back in 1983, it came out of Joshua. My calling was confirmed. I had run from this calling for about 3 years. My father was a minister and came out of the traditional pulpit back in 1976. So I never had a desire to be in the traditional pulpit. However, I was compelled by the Most High to do so. But my calling came out of Joshua, and it was Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And if you look at verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest deserve to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. What I found myself is that as we've come to the 40th year in ministry, it has been a major transition. Over the years, the Most High has placed upon my spirit to begin a Sabbath worship, to truly understand that Saturday, the seventh day, is the Sabbath. Of course, we traditionally in a traditional Baptist church that came out of the Protestant of the Catholic Church. And there are some things that we tried and utilized as tradition. However, the more I continue to study the word, my father told me years ago, of course, that the original Hebrews in Egypt were people of color. And so I recognized that these were people of color being enslaved by people of color. But as I went through and studied more in the Council of Nicaea, when I studied the atrocities and of pulling together the universal church and bringing in all sort of paganism, when I look back at Antiochus Epiphanes, which is 200 years before the Christ, when I truly recognize who the Christ really is and his mission and ministry, and begin to trace back to who we are. I was been blessed to study in Israel once as a tour, but once as a student. I've studied Israel, and I've studied, of course, in Asia Minor in Turkey. When I was in Israel, we actually when I was a guest in Israel as a tour guide to a leader of our group. And the thing that compelled me the most is before dinner that night when I took my group down to 40, Dr. Cameron Madison Alexander, president of our convention, was the tour host, but I was a young fella at the time. That means I had to do all the grunt work. The maitre d' called me to the back and showed me the entire kitchen, told me where the food was, the different meals. And after he completed everything, I said, why are you showing me all of this, where everything is? He said, sir, because today at sunset begins the Day of Atonement. And at sunset, the entire nation will shut down in honor of the Most High. I'd read as a Baptist minister about the Day of Atonement and all of this stuff. I'd never experienced the power of it. For the next 24 hours in Israel, everything shut down. All cease firing, all airplanes, all cabs, every store to honor the Most High. That caused me back in 1995 and 96 to study the Feast of Israel, to study what is a feast and how important it is to the Most High. And I recognize that a feast is an appointment with the Most High. And as a result, I begin to teach my church, and we begin to study the Feast of Israel. We begin to study those feasts that prophetically have been fulfilled and those that are yet to come. And for the last 24 years, our church has stopped to minister and to observe and to meet the Most High. However, our problem that we had is we were following the Gregorian calendar. When I got to the book of Jubilees and recognized that this is the age in which they would attempt to change the calendars, I was connected with a group called GOCC that actually had gone and studied biblically and had traveled around the world to get the exact times together of when those holy days are. So we have we celebrate those holy days now. Our church, coming back after the pandemic, went into a Sabbath worship. Our services are on Saturday morning, and then we do a Sunday morning Hebrew hour, and it has been quite an experience in southern Georgia. Introduce the people to the name of Ahayah Shariah and Yeshayah HaMashiach and to the Ruach HaKadosh. That is the introduction of me. I'm married. I have three children and five grandchildren.
Wonderful. Very, very interesting. Hold on. Everybody has pushed their hand, raised their hand. So hold on. Let me get these mics on. Mics. Well, hold on, area code. Area code 504. Let me see if this is going to work. Your mic is open. Area code 919. Your mic is open. Area code 540. Your mic is open. Can you guys hear us?
Yes.
Okay. All right, go for it. If you have any questions or anything, he's on here.
Hello, I'm sorry.
No, I was telling them if they had any questions for you, you know, that
okay.
You were here. So you were a Baptist pastor, or are you still a Baptist pastor? You just observed the Sabbath day, or how I'm.
I am a Baptist pastor. I am a Christian who celebrate. I'm a pre-Constantine Christian who celebrate the holy days and not the holidays.
Okay. Okay.
And what people don't realize, and I talked to my church yesterday and today, is that the Protestant movement came out mm-hmm. against Catholicism, because 75% of the Catholic Church has nothing to do with the Most High. It is satanically driven. So the Protestants and those denominations came out of the Protestants. And from the Protestants, when you look at the Baptists, the Baptists have the Articles of Faith. And of the Articles of Faith, the 12th Article of Faith very clearly explains to us that the creation of the visible church is specifically to take the child of the Most High back to the law. Hold on 1 second. Our responsibility as a visible church is mm-hmm. to reconnect the Israel to the law. So I'm Baptist. Baptist born and Baptist bred. What we have to do is to make Israel aware of who Israel is. We must awaken Israel to know who we are.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you on that 100%.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, let me read this. I just walked to the sanctuary. Let me and got one of the old Baptist hymn books. Let me read to you the 12th Article of Faith of the Baptist Church. Now, I'm not staunch on being Baptist. Don't get me wrong. I'm not hell-bent on being Baptist. I'm more concerned about being in truth. And whatever it's going to take for us to walk in truth, that's where we need to be. But the 12th Article of Faith of the Baptist Church deals with the law and the gospel. And it says, we believe the scripture teach that the law of God is the eternal and unchangeable rule of his moral government, that it is holy, just, and good, and that the inability which the scriptures ascribe to fallen men to fulfill its precepts arise entirely from their love of sin, to deliver them from which and to restore them through a mediator to unfringed obedience to the holy law is one great end of the gospel and of the means of grace connected with the establishment of the visible church. So the visible church is established to awaken Israel and to recreate us and to reacquaint us with the law so we can walk according to the laws and the commands of the Torah, of the Most High.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm listening. Very interesting. But you all definitely do know that you are Israelites, right? You do know that you are actually Hebrew Israelites.
By all means we do. Yes.
Okay.
I taught that for 2 years. I had to unteach these people and make sure they knew they were not the Gentiles, that we know that we are Israel. Oh, by all means. Yes.
Okay. Okay. That's very interesting. Anybody have any questions? Because my group usually they're not quiet. So I'm just trying to figure out, you know. Anybody have any questions at all whatsoever?
I have a question. I just wanted to know when you were in the Baptist church and the people got baptized under the Baptist church, and then once they woke up and you taught them that they were Hebrew Israelites, do they need to be rebaptized under that faith, or once baptized, always baptized?
No, we offered and we will offer another. We had a baptism in August where we baptized 32 under the understanding of who the names of the Most High are and that they are Israel. Yes, we've had a baptism, and those who have chosen to do that have been rebaptized.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. You can actually go to Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church on Facebook and actually see that baptism take place.
So what was the fallout that you experienced once you started teaching truth? That we were the Israelites
Of course, we've lost 50% of the church membership. But the problem that we have is too many pastors are chasing the crowd and the cash and not tracing the truth. The Most High told me when he told me back in 1983, this book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth, and thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest deserve to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. He said, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. In other words, you're going to go through some trials and tribulations in introducing this truth. Don't be swayed. Don't be dismayed. Recognize that those who will follow a delusion, there are going to be some folk who want to understand and be a part of the traditional ignorance of our churches, of our modern churches. They want to follow in that. They want the entertainment. They want the clown show. But I am not offering the clown show, never have, but I've gone into a greater depth. I have a member who is 88 years old, and some of her friends from Florida called and said, are you still over there with Malone? I heard he has gone crazy. And she says, no. This is an 88 Leo lady. She said, he's not gone crazy. He's not changed our doctrine. He's literally taking us deeper into our doctrine so that we might know who we are. I guess I'll say stop when I finish.
Oh, no, you're fine. I was talking. I had my mute button on.
I thought my phone had gone dead.
Oh, no. I think it's absolutely wonderful that you guys are having this experience. I really do. I think it's a wonderful experience. Anybody else have any questions?
Yes, I do. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have a question. My question is, do you encourage your people to read for themselves, as well as not only just reading the Bible, but also the other books that's out there.
Meaning the lost books of the Bible?
In other words, Apocrypha.
Oh, the Apocrypha?
Yeah.
No, no doubt about it. We utilize the Sefer. We recognize that King James himself was an Israelite. We explained to them the 1611 version. We have placed the Apocrypha back in. And, of course, those books that we follow, of course, of Jasher, of Jubilees, of Enoch. Yes, we teach from those, and we encourage our people to read on a continuous basis. We also have a morning call from 6 a.m. to 6:30 that is now being rebroadcast on the radio in the Cairo, Tallahassee, Florida area, Cairo, Georgia area. We have people who are calling and asking questions because, yes, we believe and understand those books.
Outstanding.
All right, area code 919, do you have a question? Yeah. 717, your mic is open. You're on the air. Area code 717. 717. So this is about, I say you guys are about 2 years into the knowledge of who you are, and knowing that you who you are now, how does it feel knowing that you have actually walked in the land that belongs to you and experienced the things that you have experienced in the land? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't know, were you conscious when you were actually in Israel, or you were just totally in Christianity and didn't know who we were?
No. I truly understood who we were. As a matter of fact, while I was there, we touched bases with the Hebrews that they had brought, with the Israelites that they had brought from Ethiopia. Because understanding that Israel itself cannot receive the blessings of the Most High without having some of the original bloodline Israelites there. They had literally, through a project called the Solomon Project, had airlifted Israelites into Israel. and they actually had them in concentration camps, which is one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life. But to sit there and to talk with those who were of the original Hebrews, Israelites, and to know, yes, that I was an Israelite, yes, it's a process by which you got to go through. We've been into it a little bit longer than 2 years. We've been gradually walking through the process of transforming our people. The word says, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, getting rid of those strongholds, getting rid of those paganisms that came in through the Council of Nicaea 325. Those are some things, some strongholds that have been introduced to our culture that we literally have to, we have to allow the word to peel out. And so in going through this process last, must have been a year, year and a half ago, one of the members wrote an anonymous letter saying that they know that those holidays are pagan and they this, and they wanted to know the why. I stand up and I continually stand in the word of truth, that Mark chapter 7 says, yes, you're going to have the traditions of men, and you will take the tradition of men over the word of the Most High. But it is our responsibility as leaders to stand on the word and let the chips fall where they may. And those who've chosen to ignore the fact that they're Israel and that and want to claim that they're Gentiles continue to walk in the ignorance. But it's going to take the Holy Spirit, and the word is the one who's going to open their eyes, and one day it'll be open. I hope it's before the judgment.
Okay, interesting. So what do you guys think about the rapture and all of that other stuff that we were taught in Christianity? Where does that fit now?
Well, we're actually walking through that, the eschatological part. We recognize that the world is so much old. We recognize that Christianity and the Catholic Church has added some things to that. We recognize that this is the earth that we will walk on, that the Most High went back, sent the Son back to recreate the new heaven and the new earth, and that is going to be presented, and that's where we're going to live. That's why I preached today about, and he shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So we're dealing with the fact of understanding a little bit more clearly. We're walking through the rapture. We're walking through all of that we've been falsely taught, and we are merging into the reality of where we are in the truth.
Of course. Interesting. Hold on. Let me get the mic open. They can raise their hand twice. Hold on. Hold on. 1 second. 919, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Just a question about you all's understanding of the new covenant.
Explain to me more clearly what you're asking for.
Do you all teach that we are in the new covenant?
Well, understand this, and this is what I actually talked in my book about today. I know you're talking about the new covenant and the old covenant, but when Josiah came, he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, think not that I come to destroy the law and the prophets. I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill. He actually himself is a manifestation of the word. St. John chapter 1, verse 14, and says, and the word became flesh. So the transition is to recognize that when Yeshua died on the cross, he died to make salvation available. But he in no way discontinued anything. He does not discontinue the law of the Most High. As a matter of fact, I shared with our folk this morning, the very word that the Most High that the Messiah spoke came from the Torah, came from the Old Testament. Most of the New Testament is basically reciting the Old Testament and actually fulfilling what the prophets had said. So, New Covenant, we are in it. We are in the New Covenant, and the New Covenant is the dispensation of the Christ and what he did for us and the dispensation of grace. Now, we talked about grace this morning. Grace is not a cover-up. Grace is not a blanket to shield you from your sins. Grace is basically a time frame by which you are given in order to get yourself right, to repent from your sins and walk in the power of the Most High. I shared with them that when Joshua, at the battle of Ai, and even the woman who, quote-unquote, caught in adultery, according to the laws, they were immediately stoned. Judgment was given at that time. They had the stones in their hand. That's why Yeshaya said, if there be one without sin, let him cast the first stone, because stoning and persecution was immediate. But I explained to them what grace is. Grace is if you got a car payment that's due on the 10th and you don't have the money on the 10th, they give you until the 20th to pay it. If you pay it on the 17th, then it is as if it was paid on the 10th. When you find yourself in sin, what grace does, it allows you to be awakened with the word, and it allows you the time to repent and get back in the right relationship with the Most High. It does not, as the Christian church has taught, cover your sins and allow you to be the whole or the dirty, no good person you want to be. Grace does not cover that, because sin, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. But it does give you an opportunity to come into light, to come into awareness, and repent of your sins and get back in the right relationship with the Most High.
No, thank you. Thank you. May I ask one other question, sister? I don't know. Can you still hear me, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Just one other. In this transition with your church, if you have lost any members or if not even lost, what has been the most difficult thing that people have had in accepting this understanding that you're trying to bring them to, whether they left or they're still struggling?
Well, here's what my point is. My minister of music was with me for 17 years. I trained him, and I recommended him to my home church, which is right around the corner. He was called to that home church. So the folk who left have a comfortable setting that they went to. Here's my concern in dealing with, as a pastor, we talked about a lot of this earlier today and yesterday. If I've been your pastor for 26 years, I've buried your mama and your daddy, I've married your children, I've blessed your children, if I have been with you through your sickness and your illness, what I ask for common courtesy is that if you are going to move your membership, at least come have a talk with me. Let me explain to you the richness of the word and the transition that we're going through. My biggest concern is that they have not done so because they're running for cover. They know that there is a scriptorial explanation to what I'm doing. I've not for 26 years taken them down a wrong path. Matter of fact, they've been solid on the path that we've taken. If I am made aware of a deeper understanding of the gospel, then it is my responsibility to teach them. They recognize in Ezekiel chapter 3, my responsibility is to sound the alarm, because if I don't sound the alarm, then their blood is on my hands. But if I sound the alarm and they reject it, then their blood is on their hands. So they recognize how I'm going to walk. And they, yes, there has been a transition, and just so let it be. We must stand on the word, and our minds must be regenerated. I've explained to them, there's a scripture, and I've done as many in some years in my younger years. I've done as many as 32 revivals in 1 year. Every revival that I went to, that I preached at, for 5 nights, they started out with a scripture, that revival scripture, Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's a prayer and desire to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and have gone about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." So we got to recognize that we have folk walking in great levels of ignorance because they don't know the word and don't want to know the word. They don't understand that Deuteronomy 28 explains, if you want an autobiography of who we are as a people, go to Deuteronomy 28. People refuse to understand that because the majority of Baptist folk, and I'll say this very clearly because I was the convention manager of the General Missionary Baptist Convention of Georgia, 861 churches, 550,000 members. I am convinced that most of the Baptist folk in the state of Georgia are totally ignorant of the Bible. And therefore, when you start going into a greater depth of the Bible, they would rather run than stay.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are we still on the air?
Yep.
I'm here.
Yes, I'm here.
Sister Yaina still there?
I don't hear.
Hello?
Hello, yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Maybe you may have got disconnected, or if there are any questions in the process, feel free to ask.
Yeah, can you hear me, Pastor?
Yes.
Yes, I have a question. What are y'all thoughts on the second Exodus? Do y'all believe that the second Exodus happened already, or do y'all feel like that's coming forth?
Speaking of the second Exodus, talking about our escape, of our regathering?
Yes, regathering back to our land from here.
Oh, I think there's going to be a regathering. I truly believe that because actually when they created the state of Israel, that's why they couldn't create the nation of Israel, because we are the nation. And they, 1948, tried to gather the so-called the Jewish people, the people who wished they were Jews, brought them together in 1948 to create the state of Israel. It is very clear that that was a false maneuver. Because the president of Egypt said in 1952, there will never be peace in this land because you left here white and you left here black and you came back white. So it has been evident that there will not be peace in Jerusalem. There will not be peace in Israel until the real Hebrews, the real Israelites, are called back home. So, yes, there's going to be a regathering, and the Most High will make that happen.
That Egyptian president's name was